is, in my opinion, the most wonderful time, one of the most wonderful times of the year. I'm excited for Pentecost Sunday, as I mentioned, the day we remember in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on the believers and united them together in their common identity in Jesus. It is the most important event of the early church and absolutely shaped the movement and growth of the early church as they began to let people know that the Jesus that they had all seen crucified was in fact risen from the dead, and why that matters. It's on this day that people miraculously began to speak other languages, people began hearing the gospel in their own language, and there's a deep cultural language identity to this day that I love. So, I say this every year on this Christian holiday. I'm contractually obligated as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to let you know that Resurrection Sunday is my favorite Christian holiday, okay? Because, well, duh, it's the resurrection of Jesus, okay? But I also love Pentecost Sunday. What an incredible passage, what an incredible moment in the life of the church to celebrate and remember every year. So that means if you've come to Riverside or have been coming, at least since I've been here, again, this is one of those Sundays where we're looking at a passage that we've looked at before, and I'm going to say things I've said before. And I'll remind you again that repetition is good. It is actually good to hear the same stories, hear the same tales, hear the same reality of what happened on that day over and over again. It reminds us of why we are together. It acts like a guidepost for when we feel like we are wandering around and are lost. We can always find these guideposts to pull us back together on that journey of faith and point us to where we are going. That when we're off track, we have these landmarks like Resurrection Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, Christmas, all these different church holidays that remind us where we are and where we need to go. And they pull us back into landmarks of our faith, not just personal faith, but especially today, the shared identity of community of faith. The church in Acts 2 is our church because we believed and they believed. We are brothers and sisters together. And we need to hear their story every year and remember what God has done and live into that calling that God has for our church moving forward. And as we'll hear this morning, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You go to the, oh, it's on there. Okay. So my sermon title today is that all should be shall be saved. That all shall be saved. A reminder to us that salvation is not tied to ethnic identity, racial identity, nationalism, or any other thing that we can see, but rather through faith in the work of Christ who has conquered sin and death. Pentecost is a reminder to us that the church is a global church, that American Christianity is not the correct Christianity, nor is African or European or Asian or any other place. That when we profess faith in Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to express that faith in the culturally unique ways that God has given us across the world. In addition to all this, Pentecost is a perfect tie-in to what we've been talking about in Revelation, if you've been with us. We saw the multitude of saints and martyrs praising God in Revelation 7. Remember this, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hand. And that picture begins today, on Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit fills people who can hear the gospel in their own tongue, and they begin to preach and teach and follow Jesus. So as I said, none of this is possible without the resurrection of Jesus. So Resurrection Sunday still has to be number one. Okay, it will be. But Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to argue, is a strong second place for importance. It's the birth of the church. The significance of the gift of the Holy Spirit cannot and should not be minimized. So let's jump in. Let's be encouraged together. We'll start with some basics. If this is new to you, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is actually an Old Testament practice that we remember in the New Testament time and connect to something new in the life of the church. Pentecost begins with the Passover meal. The Passover meal was the meal the Jews ate to remember God's deliverance for them while they were enslaved in Egypt and God's Spirit passed over their houses. You can find that story in Exodus 12. It's one of those uncomfortable stories, okay, in the Bible that we need to wrestle with and to understand God better. As it appears, there is mass murder in the name of God. How can that be from a loving God? Can that be from a loving God? Well, this is not an Exodus sermon, so I'm not answering that question today. But let's get coffee. We can talk about it if you'd like sometime. Anyway, start at Passover, move Penta 50 days forward. and you get to the day of Pentecost, which is the practice of the Jews in the Old Testament, a Jewish practice that celebrates the first fruit of the harvest for that year. In the Old Testament, it's called the Festival of Weeks. You can read about that in Leviticus 23, 15 through 22. I'm going to say that again so you can write that down so you can read Leviticus this week, right? Leviticus 23, 15 through 22. I know you're excited to jump in Leviticus. Okay, do it. I'm not going to read it out loud because you're going to read it later this week, but I'll give you a quick summary of what it says in Leviticus. Two important things about this feast. It was a celebration of the first fruits of the bountiful wheat harvest. When a good harvest comes in, it's a chance to celebrate and give thanks to God, and that is what they were called to do. I was actually just talking to Linda this morning, because where she lives, she has not had a lot of rain, which is kind of stunning to me, because we've had like an unbelievable amount of rain. Anyone had a lot of rain? Just us, just our house, you and our house, good, okay, good to know, right? And so it's like she's praying for rain to help with their crops there, whatever, everything, and it's like that's probably one of the oldest prayers in the world, right? Praying for rain, to pray for that rain would come down from the skies and provide in that way. And when it does, it's a celebration because the harvest is good, the food is good, you get to survive, you get food to last for the season. And so this festival is a time to pause and celebrate. And I think there's something good that we learn in that, that in the law, right, God makes provision and commands for celebration. You know, we think of the law generally as something of judgment or something bad or this or that, right? But here is written in the law, hey, I need you guys to stop what you're doing and actually celebrate when something good happens, because it's a celebration of what I am doing for you, and you will give praise to me as you celebrate. Think of like a grad party. I'm sure we've been to grad parties this weekend or are going to be, right? It's the time to pause and celebrate and give thanks for what God has done. And he writes it into the scriptures here, right? We become in many ways indoctrinated by this belief that if something good happens, something bad must be around the corner. So I got to keep watch, right? It's like I've said the phrase before, spiritual Eeyores. You know, I don't want to get too excited because something bad could happen tomorrow, so I'll just be calm today. No, when the harvest comes, God says, I want you to celebrate. I want you to have a feast. Give thanks to me for what I have provided for you. And so Pentecost is partially about that, a celebration, this time of giving thanks to God for the first fruit. Second, in the Festival of Weeks, we get this important teaching from Leviticus. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Why is this important? Well, it's a reminder that Pentecost is for everybody. God's abundant blessings extend to everybody, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the native-born and the foreigner, so on and so on. For farmers, as you harvest, don't take it all for yourself. Leave some blessing on the edges so that those without can be blessed by you, because God seeks to provide for all people. And this free gift of food from God is not merit-based. It's not based on if you held a job or made good decisions in your life. Your merit for receiving food is that you are the beloved creation of God, and that is enough to receive the dignity of being able to eat. And that's important for us as well to understanding Pentecost in the New Testament, this idea that it is for all people. So, what happens on Pentecost in the New Testament? We'll look at this in two chunks. Renee already read it. We'll start with chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It might be helpful to have it in front of you as we go through. So, it's helpful to understand what's going on. Who are all these people, and why are they all gathered together in this one place? And there's two distinct sets of people in this passage. The first group that we meet in verse 1 is given the name of they. Very, you know, direct name. So they are there. They, who are these they? They are the apostles and disciples, along with about 120 other people, who appear to be gathering together in Jerusalem in preparation for the celebration that was Pentecost, this Jewish harvest celebration. These are the believers, some of whom were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come as Jesus promised, though they probably don't really know what that means. Right? They're not quite sure. We know, Jesus, you promised that it's better that you leave so that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, would come. Great. Is that a person? Is that a cow? Like, what is going on? They're not quite sure. They're there waiting at this time for something to happen. So, in chapter 1 of Acts, they've just watched Jesus walk around for 40-some days after his resurrection. The gift of the Holy Spirit is coming. They watch him ascend up to heaven before their eyes, and that's the last they physically see of him. And so chapter 2, we're 50 days out, Penta, right? A few days out from his promising of the Holy Spirit, and they're in wait-and-see mode. And so the second group that we meet is the God-fearing Jews. That's group 2 in verse 5, from every nation under heaven. These are Jewish people who come from the nations around Israel to Jerusalem to worship on the day of Pentecost. And where did they come from? Verses 8, 9, and 10. Egypt, Rome, Libya, Turkey, Iraq. Those are all the modern names of the countries that are listed there. Okay, and they come bringing their own languages and their own cultures. Arabic, Turkish, Kurdish, many more languages, foods, cultures, ethnicities that are gathered together. I'm old enough to remember when Spring Fest, remember Spring Fest at Purdue? It was just called Bug Bowl. Anyone remember that? Yeah, it was just Bug Bowl. It was the bug, you do the cricket spitting, you could do all sorts of fun stuff. And during Bug Bowl, they had like a bunch of different, we haven't been to Spring Fest in quite a while. Yeah, it's always a track meet day, that's the problem. So anyway, anyone been recently this year? They still have the Bug Bowl stuff. Joel, just you and me are connecting today, that's it. I like it, all right, very good. I'm just gonna talk to Joel today then. All right. That's it, yeah. Rain and bugs, that's all we need, yeah. And so they had like these events that would run concurrent to it at the same time. And one of them was the International Fest. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Yeah, and so I don't even know if they still do that. I haven't been in so long. I hope they still do. They do? Excellent. Tom would know. The International would know. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Where is it at?
It's in the fall.
Oh, in the fall now. Oh, okay, okay. Well, it used to be at the same time as Bug Bowl, if I remember correctly. And if I remember correctly, it used to be in the basement of U Church. That's where it used to be. Because I remember, being Armenian, we would be a part of it. We would bring our Armenian food there. My mom would make it, and we would go to the basement of U Farms and eat alongside all these other people with all these different food options that were there. And it was like one of the highlights of our year. And when I was a kid, there was probably, this is whatever, how many years ago, there was probably 20 to 25 booths of different countries and different foods that you could get. I'm assuming there's more than that now, a lot more, right, as the city has grown more diverse. And each booth had people from that country speaking their own language, sharing their food, sharing it with you. It was the highlight of our year, as I said. And that's kind of what I imagined it looked like in Jerusalem at that time. All these cultures coming together with their own food, their own identity, with their own background. All believer Jewish people, but who had been placed in different countries and now coming together in this way on Pentecost Sunday. And so you have these two groups on this collision course. You have the locals, or the townies, we can call them, right, who speak the local dialect of Greek and Aramaic. And then you have these internationals who speak other languages. They've come to Jerusalem to worship, and they bring their food and spices and languages. In fact, there's probably some that have come that aren't Jewish just to sell their stuff, because they know there's a lot of people coming to Jerusalem this day. And so maybe we can make a quick buck by selling our spices and our garments and whatever on that day. So it's this huge mix of people that have gathered together. And chapter 2 tells us, we get these great audio-visual details that I think Pentecost would be a great movie scene. They're sitting together in this house, and this violent wind comes, and something that looks like a tongue of fire. I don't know what that would look like, but you know, in Revelation, we've talked about drawing, you know, passages. Well, here's your chance. Draw a tongue of fire when you get home and send me what you think that would look like. And it rests on each of them. And this idea of a wind and a storm and God, those three things tie together back to Old Testament storm appearances of God. And the fancy word for that is storm theophany, that God shows up in the form of storms. And I've said this before, you know, we often pray, Lord, deliver me from the storms of life. That's a good prayer. That's a perfectly fine prayer to be asked to be delivered from the storms of life. But in the Bible, more often than not, God is the storm. He shows up as a storm, as wind, as light, as fire. And this time, God shows up as the Holy Spirit descending on the believers. And the Spirit rests on each of them. And the sign of the filling of the Holy Spirit on that day is that they're able to speak languages that they were unable to speak before. And this is an intentionally told story in the book of Acts that flips the narrative of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. The Tower of Babel story there is they're trying to build this tower to go higher and higher and higher, and then God confuses them and their languages, and they can't understand each other. Which, by the way, if you read that story carefully, it's not that they suddenly speak different languages that's the problem. It's the problem that they can't understand each other. And so all these different languages, but they can't seem to connect in what they're doing. Another way to say that is their ability to be in community with culturally different people is broken by their sin in Genesis 11. And what sin breaks, God fixes on the day of Pentecost. He brings these diverse people together through the Holy Spirit. And so what does fixing this do? Well, it allows Peter to preach. And now it's his turn to be a witness. Let me read these verses again, verses 17 through 21. I'm going to read from the NIV this time. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter goes on, he'll preach for another 20 verses. We're not going to look at those this morning. I just want to look at these few verses here and highlight a few things. And again, Pentecost Sunday is such a wonderful connection to the book of Revelation as we've been going through because it talks about these last days. Again, if you've been coming to Riverside enough, you've heard me preach this before, but I want to say it again and remember this every single year on Pentecost Sunday. Peter says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Because the spirit has been poured out on God's people, we are now definitely in the last days. And as I say every year, I've now saved you countless of hours and hundreds of dollars on Revelation commentaries, okay? No doubt, we're in the last days because this is it. But what does it mean that we're in the last days? Does that mean time is ticking? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we got another 10,000 years, I don't know. But there's three things that definitely are for certain because the Holy Spirit has been poured out. The first one is this, because it is the last days, there is no other Savior coming. Jesus is the only way to God the Father. He is the only hope that has been given for this world. He is the way for our salvation. He is the final and perfect revelation of God's love and mercy for this creation. Second, because it's the last days, the next event is Jesus' return. That's going to be the next thing. If you've read the end of Revelation, spoiler alert, Jesus comes back. He establishes his kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth. And all the faithful witnesses who withstood this life conquered, live with him in peace forever. So you can go jump ahead to Revelations 21 and 22, this incredible picture image. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years, and it may be another 2,000 before he returns. And Jesus says, no one but the Father knows the day or the hour. So why are you, why am I, why are we, mere mortals, worrying about something that Jesus doesn't even know and doesn't seem to be worried about either? However long it might be, he will return. And our hope is secure in Jesus. And third, because it's the last days, we're called to work for the kingdom of God. And this is kind of the reality check of Pentecost Sunday. Just like Revelation, this reminder by Peter that we are in the last days is a reminder to remain faithful and to do the work of the kingdom on earth as in heaven. It's not a call to us to get excited about end time prophecy that comes true, whether that's a certain nation gaining or losing power, or a people group being highlighted, or a person coming to power, those who want to read the signs to know when Jesus comes back. When we find ourselves searching through Revelation for words that can be fulfilled in this life through the stars and through people and through nations, without a single care about those who are perishing, we're not living as faithful Christians, but as star worshipers. And hopefully you pick that up as we've gone through Revelation this year, that the point is not to be looking forward to figure things out. The point is to be looking forward so that we can have hope to do God's work for us today. That we're in the last days is a call to God's people to tell the world of the love of Jesus, that he came to conquer death and restore the fallen world back to the living God, to free us from the depth of sin that entangles us and to set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and we are witnesses to that freedom. So let's leave the reading of the stars to others and be about our Father's business. When the Holy Spirit falls on Pentecost, something amazing happens. Ethnic identity, gender, age, none of these things are disqualifying factors for service in the kingdom of God. Every nation under heaven belongs to God. And when the Holy Spirit falls, every nation receives the gospel in their own language. Christ died for all. Men and women belong to God. When the Holy Spirit falls, both men and women are called to preach, teach, lead, as called and gifted by the very Spirit of God. Both young and old are fit for service in the kingdom of God. When the Holy Spirit falls, age is not a qualifying or disqualifying factor for the kingdom. But rather, when you are filled with the Spirit and called, that is the standard. Think of the prophet Jeremiah, who was around 12 to 13 years old when he was called to preach a message of repentance to the nations. If you're 12 or 13, I guess they're probably downstairs or sleeping, but if you're 12 or 13 years old, right? Imagine that calling by God to go. He tells God, I'm too young. But God says, no, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I know what I created you for, to be filled with my Spirit and go and preach. When God's Spirit fills believers, however young or old, then not even the gates of hell can withstand the power of the living God. And that's the hope that we most intently connect with and remember on Pentecost Sunday. If you are female, don't let anyone tell you that you're the wrong gender to preach. God poured out his Spirit on all people, male and female, and he sees the heart and calls from his wisdom. If you are young and exhibit fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts of teaching and preaching, don't let anyone tell you that you're too young, because God is the one who has called you and formed you. Whatever ethnic or cultural identity that you bring, don't let anyone tell you it's the wrong one. It's the unifying Holy Spirit that brings us together. Because, as Acts 2:21 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again was what they were witnesses to on that day. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the same Holy Spirit that fell on Pentecost will fill you as well. So today, Pentecost Sunday, a reminder to us of these truths, to be about our Father's business on this day, pointing people to the love and mercy of our Savior, and the reminder that anyone who calls on his name will be saved. May we be about that work as we leave here today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Pentecost Sunday, time to pause and remember this familiar story and to be reminded of this guidepost. If our life has been a wilderness sometimes where we wander here and there in the craziness that has been this month of the end of school, may this be a day to pause and remember and reflect that your Spirit filled all people, all believers, that you called them and gifted them, men and women, young and old, all ethnic identities, Lord. As we see in Revelation, the fullness of your kingdom from every tribe and tongue singing praises to you. That is our expectant hope that we cling to today as we go out into this world. And all that was possible through your death and resurrection, Lord Jesus, which we remember today by taking communion. The Apostle Paul reminds us that before we eat of this bread and drink of the cup, that we allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and that we may confess any unconfessed sin. I invite everyone here to take a few moments of silence, allow the Spirit to search your heart, and confess any sin you need now.